talking about a home.
From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, the Charleston Fall Home Show, and Charleston's online home show, charlestonhomeanddesign.com, this is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. This is Talking About a Home.
Well, I'm gonna miss her when I get home. Right now I'm on this lake shore and I'm sitting in the sun. I'm sure it'll hit me when I walk through that door tonight. Yeah, I'm gonna miss her. Oh, looky there, I've got a bite. All right.
Good morning. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. This week's home theme song was by Brad Paisley, I'm Gonna Miss Her, in addition to the great Chris Isaacs Talking About a Home, and special thanks to today's show producer, Paige Taylor. In addition to our radio show Talking About a Home, we also published Charleston Home and Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with the two custom home shows we organize, the Charleston Home and Design Show, which takes place every February, and the Charleston Fall Home Show, which happens every October. Well, today we've got a great show lined up for you. We are going to be, we're still taking a look back. We created a lot of content at the Charleston Home and Design Show, which was about a month ago. For the first time ever, we were able to record all of the seminars that took place. And that sounds like a simple task, but it involves a lot of audio-video equipment and experimentation, and we typically only do these home shows a couple times a year, so that's about the only time that we get to practice. But we were able to capture just about all the seminars that took place at the Charleston Home and Design Show, so that in the event that you didn't get a chance to come to the show, you are able to relive it or experience what you may have missed. But one of the seminars, the first seminar you're going to be listening to is by Karen Cavanaugh with Carolina's Wealth Management, and you can find her within the pages of Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and it's called Budget Breakdown: Sudden Wealth Syndrome. And it's a very interesting seminar that anybody that is planning for retirement, and I guess that means if you're in your 30s, 40s, or getting close to retirement, this is definitely a seminar that you should be listening into. And Karen Cavanaugh, she has appeared on CNBC like dozens and dozens of times. She's one of those go-to experts that they book and usually part of a panel to hear about, get her opinion on various financial things that are happening and so forth. But she's a great speaker, and so we hope you'll tune in to listen to Karen Cavanaugh with Carolina's Wealth Management, Budget Breakdown: Sudden Wealth Syndrome. We are continuing our interviews with vendors. We've got Brian Lancaster with McLeod Painting and pressure washing. We'll also be hearing from Rick Jackson with Carolina Machine Finishings. Both those companies were vendors at the Charleston Home and Design Show. And then finally, we wrap it up with another seminar that we had at the show, Tips from a Master Builder, with Kevin Kalman of Kalman Construction. And Kevin always volunteers his time to prepare a seminar at the show, in addition to having a big display at the show and talking to lots and lots of homeowners about their projects. And he's just a great guy. One of the interesting things about Kalman Construction is all of the different trades that are usually involved with a big remodel project or even building a custom home: the electrician, the plumber, the painting contractor, and so on. Those are all in house. So he has his own people that are the contractors. He's not subbing out those services to an electrical contracting company that maybe is working on working with other builders on other jobs and things like that. So he likes to kind of control the project as best he can, rather than sub it out. So, Tips from a Master Builder, that's one of the seminars we're going to be listening to as well. And I thought I would just take a minute and talk to you about, in addition to publishing Charleston Home and Design Magazine, we have a monthly direct mail program called Home Site Deliveries. And I'm directing this to the many business owners that tune in to listen to Talking About a Home. If you happen to own a home-related company and you would like to talk to homeowners that have just recently been issued a building permit to build a custom home or a big remodeling project, we do all that research. We find out exactly who those people are, and we mail Charleston Home and Design Magazine to the end users, who are also the ultimate decision makers, the homeowners. And those homeowners are spending hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, even millions of dollars building a house. They're spending $100 bills like they're $1 bills, and they're a great market to try to attract. And we have a direct mail program that we'd love to talk to you about. If you happen to own a home related company, we'll mail your brochure or your postcard directly to the end user, to the homeowner. And very often builders have their own networks of who they do business with, and if you're not part of that network, you may not get a chance to bid on a project. And so we're putting you in touch with the homeowner, the ultimate decision maker. Have a great weekend.
Chartered financial analyst, excuse me, Karen Cavanaugh. She actually has a show on CNBC.
I did. Don't have a show, but I do appear frequently on CNBC, and I will be on Fox 24 next week too, talking about financial infidelity.
We'll talk more about that.
Any kind of personal finance topics.
Amazing.
But I was on CNBC on Tuesday morning talking about the Fed and what's going to go on with the markets and what's going on with interest rates.
Awesome. Can you tell us a little bit about the climate of the market right now?
This year is definitely better than last year. We started out of the gates pretty decently. In fact, the market just seems to be going up and up and up. And we have the same problems that we did last year, but I think we pulled forward a lot of the negative news last year. So this year should be a little bit better than last year. And that's good news for investors, because last year both stocks and bonds were negative, and there was really no place to hide. So I'm looking forward to a better 2023 than 2022.
That's awesome. Everything seems to be on the up and up these days, which is good. So specifically, talk to me about sudden wealth syndrome. You don't have to hold it down.
Oh, I'll just click it. Sudden wealth syndrome. I think sudden wealth syndrome is a problem that we all love to have. It's all of a sudden you fall into a big pile of money. And I don't know anybody that would have a sad face emoji on that one. I mean, that's a great thing to have. But ironically, that this actually causes a lot of anxiety and stress when people find that they have a lot of money that they knew that they were going to get. Now, that could be winning the lottery, winning the Mega Millions, or it could be inheriting a big pile of money from an uncle or that you didn't even know that you were going to get. And there's a lot of stress that goes with that. Now, if you win something like the lottery, obviously, I mean, it's a great thing, but there are some things that you just don't want to do. And one of the biggest things you don't want to do is shout from the rooftop, "I won millions of dollars." I mean, that's probably the worst thing you could do. The best thing you could do is zip it. You really don't want to talk or tell anybody until you have a team of people working for you in place. And that would be a financial advisor, someone like me, someone like an accountant, and maybe even an attorney. Because your life is going to change. At the very minimum, you're going to be in a different tax bracket. And a lot of your financial obligations are now going to be up in the air. So the first thing you want to do is remember is be quiet.
That's smart. I know some guy recently won the Powerball or the lottery, and he took his interview with a trash bag over his head, so no one knew who he was.
Yeah, it's interesting. In South Carolina, you can maintain your anonymity. In some other states, if you win a big drawing, you actually have to be named.
Oh, that's interesting.
So that's one of the things here in South Carolina. You can put it into a blind trust. You can make sure that that people don't know about it. Because unfortunately, one of the biggest problems if you come into a large sum of money is that your friends and family are going to be asking you for money. And that is likely to be your biggest downfall, is it's really hard to ignore your friends or family when they really need money. They say, "Oh, I can't pay my house bills. I'm going to lose my house. My kids can't go to college." It's very distressing, and that's one of the causes of the stress. So your friends and your family might be your own worst enemies when you do that. That's why if you have a team, you say, "Oh, I got a financial advisor. She's got it locked down. She won't let me move anything." You know, you can throw your financial advisor, your accountant, under the bus.
Yeah, right. That's really smart. So you would recommend that the response be to a family member asking for money just to say, "I don't even have access to that money myself."
Right. Absolutely, absolutely. That's the safest thing to do. And, you know, that's the thing. You know, it's just your family and friends feel like if you didn't earn it, why don't you share the wealth?
Right.
It's basically unearned income. So there is that envy or jealousy that your friends and family will feel.
Absolutely. What are the different ways that you can make your money work for you? So say you're in one tax bracket and you come up on a sum of money and you're in maybe the second level up from that. What are the lifestyle changes or considerations to stay on top and not to spend that money all at once? And
well, that's a great question, Michaela, and that's why you need an advisor. But you also mentioned taxes, and the taxes that's going to take a huge bite out of something like a lottery. I mean, there's withholding immediately. You won't even get, you know, you'll end up with half of the money. But if you can make that money work for you, but the first thing you have to do is to sit down with your advisor and come up with a budget. What do you want to do? Do you want to buy a house, or do you want his and her purple Camaros, you know, that you're going to go? No, you don't want that.
Where are your priorities?
So that's the whole thing is that you come up with your budget, and then a lot of people, they could be subject to scams or frivolous lawsuits or things like that. So it's easy to blow that money. A lot of people, it's not really true, but a lot of people think that, you know, most people, by winning the lotto within 3 years, they're broke. Well, that's not really true, but it can easily happen. So if you figure out what you might not even have to ever touch the principal. You could maybe live off the dividends and interest if you invest it good enough, and then create some kind of, inheritance for your children. So I always recommend having money in the stock market. I mean, really, at the end of the day, your wealth is going to eventually go up if you invest it properly. And markets will have up years and down years. Like we talked, last year was a down year. But over time...
But the longer you stick it out.
Yeah. And when time is on your side, there's definitely opportunities to make money. And then, you know, there's also, you know, people might want to buy real estate. We're at the home show.
Yeah.
You know, they want to invest in a home, and they want to make a good decision on that. That's making your money work for you, finding something, because right now the home market is under some pressure because of higher interest rates, but we've seen a lot of home appreciation over the last 10 years, and that's an investment. So again, you want to make your money work for you. There's different opportunities. There's stock market, there's bond market, there's home. There's a lot of different investment opportunities.
That's awesome. What would you recommend for someone who came up on a lot of money and they have a significant amount of debt that they could pay off all at once. Are you supposed to like keep some debt even if you could pay it all off? How do you deal with
that? Well, it depends on what kind of debt you have. If you have
college student loan debt.
Oh, well, college student loan debt, yeah, you probably should pay that off.
Okay, maybe that was a bad question.
Sometimes you have a mortgage. Now, you have tax advantages for having a mortgage. But if you have high credit card debt, which is costing you 24.99% APR, you need to pay that off right away. Also, remember, if you're now suddenly wealthy, I mean, you might be, your creditors are going to be looking at you like, you know, especially if you have any kind of pending lawsuits or alimony or child support. I mean, you're going to have to pay some of those debts. You're not going to have a choice. That's another reason why I said you might want to talk to an attorney before you claim your winnings, because your whole financial situation is going to change.
That's so interesting. I've got some questions here that we can ask. You touched on, with Valentine's Day coming up, and money tips, tell me about this wealth infidelity.
Well, I know Valentine's Day is coming up, and we think about all the lovey-dovey things. Well, you know, one of the things that we don't talk about is when we're talking about love is money, and it may be considered unromantic to talk about money with your romantic partner, but it's actually very important. And a segment I'm doing upcoming for Fox is about financial infidelity, and there's more than 40% of couples commit financial infidelity, and it could be anything from hiding big purchases to having hidden credit cards or hidden debts. Or I even read about a couple where the husband inherited a large sum of money from his mom and never even told his wife. You know, he kept it separately. So there's a lot of cheating going on financially, and that can be very detrimental to a partnership, to a marriage. And so there's different ways, you know, if you're that you can kind of see that if something doesn't feel right, it's probably not right. And that would be somebody who's hiding their bank statements, who doesn't want to have a joint account, who doesn't, you know, who is constantly hiding purchases. I know I was telling Maeve the other day, you know, everybody thinks that doormat that says Amazon driver, please hide purchases from husband. I think that's really cute, but that's not really that cute. I mean, if that's really true, then there's probably deeper issues in your relationship. So, money is often cited as the reason for relationship failure. So, it just you have to be cognizant that a lot of people do and are cheating on their spouse monetarily, and there's a lot of reasons. I mean, it may just be because we have different views about how much we should pay for our adult children, or we might just emotionally feel better about spending. There's a lot of different reasons. Or it could be revenge, it could be spite, it could be saving money for freedom funds to get divorced.
That's interesting. I never thought about it that way.
Yeah.
Well, what are some of the talking points or questions that you can bring up and ask your partner if you are trying to avoid this financial infidelity? How do you have those like tough money conversations? Yeah. And just see where you are and see if you even match with how you both look at money and spend money.
Right. Well, that's exactly it, Michaela. You have to, it's communication. Communication is the key, and it's communicating with your partner about how they feel about money. I know it's not very romantic, but you really should know your partner's credit score. You know,
absolutely.
And talking about it beforehand, and then it may be beneficial especially if you're cohabitating or if you're married, you might want to have a household account for common expenses, and then each have your own personal accounts where there's no questions asked. Because
right.
If you're a spender and he's a saver, you know, you might say, okay, well, it's my money. I want to be able to do that.
Right.
So, but communication is the key, and you hit it right on the head. Is that you have to talk about it? You have to talk about it and say, hey. What is, you know, how do you feel about it? And what are our financial goals? And how do we want to achieve them? And therefore, this is how we're going to go about it. And also, I think it helps to keep like a written ledger or spreadsheet. Because in that, the same way we're talking about throwing your accountant or financial advisor under the bus, you could just throw the spreadsheet under the bus. I'd love to go out to dinner, but we can't, the spreadsheet.
No, we're on the budget.
Yeah, we can't, sorry. The budget says no. It's kind of like on... on HGTV where I was like, well, the budget, like the budget is a third person. They made the budget. But it's easier to throw the budget under the bus and say, no, we're not going out to dinner. We already did that. And say, oh, I'd love to, but the spreadsheet or the budget says no.
Right. That's really smart. Do we have any questions from the audience?
Anybody win a scratch-off out there?
Yeah. Did we do our scratch-off ticket?
Oh, well. Anybody have any other questions about, I mean, nobody ever wins lotto and says, oh, boo-hoo me, I won lotto.
Right.
But believe it or not, there is a lot of negative feelings and stress and guilt that goes with that. So I hope you all win millions of dollars, and then you can have me as your financial advisor. I'll help you out.
What's like the first thing you do when someone comes to you and they're like, I have X amount of money, help me with it?
The first thing, we What's said like that, talk about their life. Just talk about their life. You know, what is it? Where are you? Are you working? Are you retired? What do you want to do? How do you feel about money? How do you have kids? You know, what
charities? So you have those tough conversations with people all the time.
Yeah, it's kind of like to do a whole 360 of what's going on. Because money isn't just money. It's also how you feel about life and safety and security and goals. And then from there, we can kind of create what we call a GPS, like goals and plans and strategies to kind of move forward to achieve that.
Right. That's really smart. Well, thank you so much.
$1.
$1?
Yay!
$2.
Awesome. Yay. Well, everybody missed out.
Yeah. Sorry. Come on, guys.
Yeah. And what? You won $10,000? Oh
wow.
My gosh, that's so awesome!
Congratulations.
Wow,
me.
Everybody should have come.
For
winning
$10,000 scratch off. Thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And now we're talking with Brian Lancaster with McLeod Painting and Pressure Washing. And we're very proud to have McLeod Painting and Pressure Washing as one of the sponsors of the Charleston Home and Design Show. How you doing, Brian?
Doing good, sir. Thank you.
Good, good. What kinds of projects have you been talking to homeowners about this weekend?
Well, a lot about pressure washing and controlling mildew and just basic exterior and interior paintings. Some epoxy. I've had questions about epoxies and garage floors and some concrete.
Is that something McLeod Painting and Pressure Washing does, epoxy floors?
Yes, sir. Pretty much if it's a coating and it's not for boats or cars, we'll do it. So whether it's epoxy, stains, or anything like that.
Well, that's great. That's great. So tell us what you have on display here at the Charleston Home and Design Show.
Well, on display, we just basically got some advertising for our name. We got some mints and koozies and candies, and then some of our providers, like Sherwin-Williams products. Some of our paint projects are here in picture, as you can see, kind of some of the type of work we do.
I'm looking at one of your displays, and it's got looks like the interior of a home with all shiplap siding on the inside, and then it looks like one of your people are staining a deck here, right?
Yes, sir. That was an older photo of the guy staining the deck. It's me, actually. But that's one of my painters. The one where the entire kitchen, that's a kitchen. It's in Kiowa Island, a big house in Kiowa. And it's got the nice triangle beams with all shiplap. So we sprayed all of that. Yeah.
Very good, very good. And this is a kitchen restoration. They didn't have to take out the cabinets. You were able to repaint those cabinets?
That's correct. Even as the picture shows, same appliances. So and that's another picture outside that Kiowa kitchen. But that was some stained cabinets, and it's very popular these days to paint them. And we changed them from stain to paint.
What do you use a lacquer when you're restoring kitchen cabinets?
We do not. Paint products have come such a long way over time. We basically use a transition oil primer and then put a very hard, durable latex on it. It's what we did.
Gotcha. Very good. Well, that's good to know that for someone who's got some decent cabinetry, I guess they in the industry they call them boxes. If the boxes are in decent shape, why tear them out? Because it's pretty expensive to buy new cabinetry.
Yes, sir. Generally, depending on the set of cabinets, we're probably anywhere from 90% cheaper than a new set to, 50%, depending on the cabinet, and make them look brand new.
Well, how can folks get more information about McLeod Painting and Pressure Washing?
You can call us at 843-718-8444, or also Facebook is McLeod Paint. Facebook, you can search us on Facebook, or McLeodPainting.com.
All right, great. We've been talking to Brian Lancaster with McLeod Painting and Pressure Washing. And thanks so much to McLeod Paint and Pressure Washing for being a sponsor of the Charleston Home and Design Show. Thanks so much, Brian.
Thank you.
And now we're talking with Rick Jackson with Carolina Machine Finishing here at the Charleston Home and Design Show. How are you doing, Rick?
I'm doing very well, Tim. Thank you.
Good, good. So, Rick, what have you been talking to homeowners about this weekend?
We've been just basically explaining, Tim, how to increase the longevity of the outside of their homes. People want to, everybody comes by, and the number one thing they're looking for is they want maintenance-free. And as you and I know, there is no such product as maintenance-free, but it's a reduction in maintenance is really what we try to help them realize. That's the proper terminology, how to reduce the maintenance. So how can they extend that maintenance cycle so that they're not having to maintain as long? So we've been talking a lot about that, and folks are very, very interested in, because that's what they want. They want to reduce their work. A lot of folks are retiring. They want to maintain their house a lot less. So we've been talking about that.
What is it about the Charleston environment that causes people to have to do maintenance on their home?
Yeah, we got a couple of elements here, which is what people move here for. It's what we love about the area. We love the sunshine. We're not the sunshine state, but we're a pretty good sunshine state, and we're proud of our sunshine. But ultraviolet light, UVA, UVB light, destroys the exterior. It's damaging to concrete. It's damaging to asphalt. It's damaging to stainless steel. It's damaging to coatings. So ultraviolet light is probably number one. And number two, we're in a high humidity state. So being on the coast, we've got a lot of moisture, which then facilitates the growth of mold and mildew. So mold and mildew and fade are probably, and just ultraviolet light degradation are probably our biggest maintenance issues.
Gotcha. And how does Carolina Machine Finishing help to reduce the maintenance on someone's home from the UV rays fading the coating, the paint on your siding, and also regarding the high humidity that we have?
Great question, Tim. And number one, the ultraviolet light, the thicker the coating, the more durable the coating. If you had an automobile, it's only been painted with one coat, and then you get a Mercedes that's been painted with five or six coats of paint, that same paint job is going to look and last longer on that high-quality car. So the same thing happens to a household. So a lot of folks just think, that light coats are better. You put a siding up, a painter can only put so much paint on in that vertical plane. So he puts one coat on in the vertical plane. Maybe you get a second one. Usually you don't get a full second one. And you only have 1 to 2 mils of dry film on there. And consequently, the ultraviolet light's going to destroy that. And it's going to look terrible in average in 5 to 7 years is when a home starts to look bad. We had folks come through yesterday talking to them, and they said, we put up a hardy plank on our house and it looks terrible after 4 years. We don't like it. It's like, well, it's not the product, it's the application is the problem. So what we do when we run the board through the machine, we run it in a horizontal plane, we can put 6 mils plus wet film, so it dries to 2+ mil film wet dry film. You put one final coat on in the field, now you've got over a 3 mil coating that's actually going to resist the ultraviolet light.
And there's certain colors that people may be choosing for the exterior of their home that they think, this will reflect the sunshine and it'll help us make the siding the color last longer. And yellow is one of those, but yellow surprisingly is one of those that has a high or a low reflective value.
Yeah, it depends on the color. We'll come back to the light reflective value here in just a second. But the three primary colors, reds, blues, and yellow, the closer you get to a true primary color, just because of the chemicals that it takes to be able to make that color, those are going to fade the fastest. a red sports car, a yellow sports car, and a bright blue sports car fade the fastest. So if you can mute that or lessen the intensity of that color, it's going to last longer. But then when it comes to any color, if you look on the back of most any fan deck at a paint store, you flip the color over, we all like to look at that pretty side that's got all the color degradations, but you flip it over and it's got a little thing that says LRV, light reflective value. We all know that white reflects 100% of light. Black absorbs 100% of light. So the more the color absorbs light, the faster it's going to fade because of the heat retention. The entire industry said if you want to get a low resistant paint, one that's slow to fade, it needs to be above 76 on the LRV scale. That's going to put you in the top two chips on any paint chart. And then if you go to a top two chip and you pick one of the primary colors, you're still going to subject to fade. So obviously a white house is the easiest thing to maintain, but we'd be a pretty boring place if everybody painted their home white.
Gotcha. Well, how can folks get more information about Carolina Machine Finishing?
They can give us a call at the office, 843-760-0029, or look us up on the web at CMF, Carolina Machine Finishing, prefinish.com, CMFprefinish.com.
All right, great. We've been talking to Rick Jackson with Carolina Machine Finishing here at the Charleston Home and Design Show. Thanks so much, Rick.
Thank you, Tim.
Welcome to our first seminar of the last day of the home show. I hope you guys are enjoying yourselves and meeting all the people that are going to help make the house you live in the home that you love. We're joined here with Kevin Kalman. And how do you prefer to say it?
Either way works.
There's a right way to say it. It's Kalman, I'm pretty sure. So thank you for being here. He is a master builder. Coming from a long line of builders, you want to just give a little introduction and tell us about your background in the building industry?
Sure. My name is Kevin Kalman. Kalman Construction is one of our companies, and I am a second generation home builder. My dad was a home builder in Nantucket Island, Massachusetts, which is where I'm from. Grew up sweeping floors, swinging a hammer, picking up nails since the age of about 5 or 6. I've got 6 brothers. We all work for my father, whether we wanted to or not. And living out on an island, like when Christmas vacation and spring vacation came, you didn't go anywhere. You just went to work for the week. So we were glad to go back to school. Moved here in Charleston in 1996. Formed Kalman Construction with my wife in 1988. I've been in business for 43 years. My 43rd year. Too old to do anything new, so we just continue to keep doing what we're doing. That's kind of our background.
That's great. And we've got some photos up here of a project he did on Wattamala. Let's start from the beginning. Could you sort of describe, I'm sure a lot of people are curious, what is the initial consultation process like? So say Miss Wilson gives you a call and she's like, hey Kevin, I really need you to remodel my kitchen. How does that start?
The process is pretty much the same for remodeling and new construction. There's an inquiry, we get it, whether it's at a booth at a show like this, or word of mouth, or someone sees our advertising, and they contact our company. We'll make an appointment to come out. If it's a remodeling job, we'll come out. I will say up front that I will never give you a price up front. So if you ask me how much this is going to be, you will not get that number. The only number anybody will ever remember till the day you die is the first one I give you. So if I give it to you standing over there at that booth, you're going to remember that number. And if I come out to your house and look at something and it's twice that number, you're going to say, oh, you told me it was X. Now it's 2 times X. And you will go to the grave with that number. So we don't do anything off the cuff like that. So I will come out and I will look at what you want to do. You explain to me your thoughts and I will look at it and say, yeah, that makes sense. That doesn't make sense. We could do that, but it's going to be cost prohibitive. It's just too expensive to do that. I've told people plenty of times after looking at what they want to do with their homes that they're just in the wrong home. It sounds cold, but it's like the truth. You know, what they want to do, it's just economically unfeasible to do what they want to do and have anything left without taking a big loss on their property. So someone needs to sometimes tell you the unvarnished truth. And I'm from New England, we're used to doing that. So So I will come out and look at it, and then within a week, you will get an email back from me. Within 7 days, you will get an email back, and it will say, based on what we looked at, here are your ballpark pricing for A, B, C, D, and E. And I try to break down as much stuff as people give me. So if it's four or five different things, they want to do a kitchen, they want to maybe take a look at the hall bath while I'm there, and you know, maybe they want to do a patio, so I try to break down as much of that stuff as we can. And then they will either get back to me or they won't. Many times nobody responds back again. Hurts my feelings. When they get back to me, they'll either say, yes, we want to move forward on A or B or C or whatever it is, or it's more money than we want to spend, thank you for coming out, and it's no harm, no foul. We don't charge for this service. My office tries to set up appointments for me, like, you know, two or three in an area, so I'm not driving all over God's creation every day. And so we try to, you know, I try to get out, get a look at it, and get back to you in a timely manner so that you can make a decision. Many times I hear I'm waiting for another price or two other prices or some other guy who's going to come, and by the time that person either doesn't come or they, you know, does come and doesn't give them an estimate, it's another 4 or 5 months down the road and all the pricing has changed again. So we end up doing the same dance all over again, unfortunately. So that's kind of the process. And once we get to that point, we develop the plans, we develop the specifications of what is going to go on. If I'm looking at a bathroom, you may get a price of X amount of dollars, and there'll be a thing underneath that will say, I am allowing X amount of dollars for tile, X amount of dollars for countertop, for a sink, for a faucet, for a shower valve, for a shower door. All of these items that go in there, I don't know what they are going to be when I go out to look at something. 99% of the people I go to see have not done the homework yet to be able to say, here's the faucet I picked out, here's the sink I picked out. Mainly because nobody has an idea yet of what the budget is to get their arms around, and you know, time is time, and nobody has time to just drive around and figure all that stuff out. So if you decide that you want to move forward, the best thing you can do is go pick out all of those items. The less stuff that is left to have to go and pick later, the better off we all are. You know what the price is. We know what it is at the beginning. We're not waiting for something to show up later. And I also, once we have all of this stuff figured out, I don't want to start your job until I have, like, we're doing a bathroom remodel. I don't want to start until I've got everything on site. I want the tile, I want the plumbing valve, I want, you know, I don't care about the faucet, but I want the shower valve on site, anything that goes behind the walls, anything that's going to hold the project up, because you want me to get in and you want me to get out. The last thing you want me to do is leave for 3 weeks while we wait for the shower valve that's been back ordered from China. So, you know, somebody has to spend that time to go and pick it all out at some point in time. Ahead of the time is better for everybody.
You made a good point yesterday at one of our seminars talking about how a lot of people ask you, is it better to do your major renovations in phases or just plan for, you know, to do it all at once, move out. I think Tommy Priester made a good point about how your home is your safe haven, and it's really going to stress you out if you stay in the home amidst the chaos of a renovation, and especially if you have multiple going on, it's best to kind of get out of the way, don't see it, come back to an even more beautiful space. And you mentioned that was a better for cleanup, better for efficiency, timing, all of that. Could you maybe explain why it's beneficial to do that?
There's two schools of thought on this. One is, anytime that you can, if it's a major home renovation, and we do two or three of these a year, where it's basically a whole house renovation. Nobody can live in the house at that time. Everything has to go. So it's either a pod in the yard where the furniture goes, ends up in the garage, ends up in storage. And many times we're doing jobs, James Island, Jones Island. Someone will just get a winter rental at Folly Beach, and down they'll go to the beach for the that way they're close enough that they can come by every day, every other day, see what's going on. We also have clients for smaller span jobs like master bathrooms or things like that, where they may be going up north to see their kids for 2 or 3 weeks in the summer, and we picked everything out and we send them enough pictures, they feel comfortable with what's going on, that they can just leave and we can go in and do the job and be 99% done before they get back. As far as when you have multiple jobs to do. I mentioned this yesterday. We do this thing called bundling, where if we can bundle a couple of things together, it saves you money, it saves us time, and it saves the subcontractor's effort of having to come back three or four times within a short time span. So if we're going to do a kitchen and a bathroom at one time, it makes sense to combine those two things together. Sometimes it makes sense to combine different projects together, whether it has to do with HVAC or plumbing or electrical or something like that. Sometimes it just makes sense to bundle some of that stuff together.
Do you guys have any specific renovations or projects you're working on that you have in mind? We can kind of pick his brain about that kind of project. Anything specific?
Yeah.
Okay, you guys were just chatting.
Let me touch base about what a builder's package looks like with our company. And I'm going to address this from a new home perspective, just for fun. We are a design build company, so we do the design in-house. I actually do the design, and then we have a structural engineer that we've worked with for the last 15 years or something like that. We ship him the plans, he does the engineering, whether it's taking a wall down in an existing house or a whole house from the ground up. That creates our package of blueprints. Then we have our specification booklet, which is about so thick, and it's everything that goes into your house. So it'll be from the size of the footings, and it'll also show on the plans. It'll tell you what appliances we're going to use, recessed lights. Every room is listed for the finishes of floors, walls, ceilings, trim. So everything gets listed in here. We have a fee schedule. That is the breakdown of what the cost to do the job starts usually at surveyor or clearing, permitting, foundation, framing, windows, doors, exterior trim, roof, all the way through to the end where there's a cleaning list, dumpster, porta potty fee, everything all the way down through. Inspections. Everything gets listed out and you get to see all of that. And then there's usually an allowance sheet. And in that allowance sheet, it's like I said earlier, but we look at every room and whatever is not picked out ends up on the allowance sheet. And that allowance sheet, we have clients who have not picked out anything by the time we've broken ground. And we have clients who have picked out everything before we've broken ground. Not surprisingly, the jobs where the clients have picked out everything goes a lot smoother than the jobs where the client has not picked out anything. One of the things that we do is we do not give you a lump sum allowance like plumbing, $10,000. We break it down per room, per fixture. So the toilet in the hall bathroom is $300. The sink in the hall bathroom is $150. The faucet in the hall bathroom is $150. You get a whole list of this and you see what we've allowed for every item that you need to pick out. When you have a $10,000 allowance, it's real easy to go to a place and just say, I want that, and I want that, and I want that, and I want that. And then the next day we get the email from the supply house and it's $15,000. And then we have to either go back again, and you end up going back and having to do this twice. It's a lot easier to look at it. If you want to exceed it, not a problem, but you know exactly what you're exceeding it with everything that you pick. And it's not unusual for people to be over on some and under on others. So it doesn't matter to us. It just all ends up going into the same bucket. But I would like to be pretty close by the time we're all done for your sake and ours.
I have a question. What about for a homeowner who, you know, the idea of picking out all of these different plumbing fixtures, you know, really stresses them out. Is there an option? You mentioned you do a lot of the design work. Can you point them towards maybe a plumbing fixture designer or a certain showroom that you have a good relationship with that could maybe do that part for them?
On the part of the attachment to the allowance sheet, we call it the shopping list, and it lists all of the places, the local places, and some online resources where you can go and look at stuff. And also attached to that, and I will use Moloff's Plumbing as an example. It will say, you know, Moloff's Plumbing, Signature, Kitchen and Baths Online, and, you know, maybe two other places. But each one will have a contact for you and a cell phone number. So you can call and make an appointment because nothing worse than taking time off from work, or you've got half a day and you go in and that person is out also. So this way you're not wasting your time. And usually they will, you have already shipped everything to them, so they'll know what you're looking for. They'll have already seen your plans before you get there. It just helps the process to move along. We don't get a kickback. We don't get a break. We don't get anything. What you see is what we pay.
Money's on her.
Yeah, the more you do up front, and the faster you do it, the better off everybody is. When we start if we're doing a bathroom, and it's X amount of dollars, we get a third to a half to start with, and as soon as you give me that check, we go and buy all that stuff. So right then. So the minute you give me the check, the next day we're ordering everything that we can order.
So you have a progress payment schedule.
Yeah.
Rather
than we get an upfront payment and then we get paid as the project goes along until completion. Yeah. And usually what happens is that there will be something that gets added in, and so you'll see that before and it gets added to the billing schedule. Yeah. And if you're underneath on your allowances, you get credits. And you see all that stuff. I mean, I have clients who say they want to buy it. Buy with me. You know, it doesn't matter. Buy it, send us the slip, and we will just give you a credit to the billing schedule. Almost all of the people that work, like, on the projects, there are certain things we do subcontract, but there's a ton of stuff we do not. Coming from New England, you do all the work in-house. It's not a big place that's subcontracted. When we moved here, it was hard for us to get used to that because I'm not used to the whole subcontractor thing. So we've gone back to having our own crews. We were real big at one time. We've got a nice, tight little crew right now. We're very happy with all the guys we have. They've been with us for 10 years each. So we also own the plumbing, electrical, and HVAC business. So those guys are all in-house also. We're not chasing plumbers or electricians all over the place. Yeah, one guy, and he calls everybody, and he schedules everybody, and everybody comes in and does what they need to do. I have another guy who works with me who's like our main guy, our lead.
His wife also does beautiful tile mosaic work, if you saw over there. I'm just going to plug her art. It's amazing. She did this gorgeous, was it the Morris Lighthouse? I should have had it pulled up before I started talking about it, but it was beautiful. And she did it as a backsplash. So not even just like a freestanding piece of art. They like built it into the wall behind the range. It was really pretty. So they've got that in-house too. So.
Two questions. Who do you recommend for appliances on the Mount Pleasant side? And what are your thoughts on alternatives to ePay?
I don't know if I really need this. Anyway, the appliance end of things, we like to deal with plugs. Yeah. But with us, we deal with Gene, who's the owner. If you got our list of our shopping list, it would say Gene. I would have his cell phone number on there. And I like to deal with one of those guys if I can, only because it gives us more clout when we need it. If I'm dealing with one sales guy at plugs as opposed to plugs and Ferguson's and wholesale, when something goes wrong and the crap hits the fan, I can call Gene and say, Gene, I need this like today, you know, and he makes it happen. So, and as far as the e-pay goes, you know, at $120 to $150 a board, the stuff's just outrageous. And I mean, it's got that great look to it when it's brand new, and then it just grays out and looks like everything else. So I'm a big believer of TimberTech synthetic decking. You can get it to look, you can get the rainforest look if you want. A lot of our clients are using, like, I think it's Cape Cod Gray, it's called. It's like a nice gray thing. They also have a white now, which I'm interested in trying on some of these decking. So.
How about siding? Same kind of question. What do you like for synthetic siding?
I'm a big hardy guy. Yeah, I'm a big hardy guy. So as much hardy as we can put on.
Yeah. Hardy plank?
Hardy plank, hardy siding, hardy shingle, board and batten, whatever it is. But the cement stuff, it holds paint like a bear. And here, it's, you know, you're repainting every 5 to 8 years. You know? And I'm all about not having a whole bunch of maintenance if we can help it. So, you know, who wants to spend money on that stuff? You know, if you use wood, you're painting every 3 to 4 years. So, you know, the hardy really holds up well. It doesn't rot. It's hard to beat. There's some stuff that doesn't join as well as wood, and the finish is not as fine as wood. So you give a little bit of that up, but it's worth it. We do most of that stuff with Southern Lumber. Yeah, we do most of it there. I will say this. There's a place in Columbia. It's like a salvage place, more or less. And it is the place to get, like, if you're looking for a mahogany entry door kind of thing, it's worth a 2-hour drive to go there. And you can get I just got an 8-foot tall mahogany entry door in a jam with full lights of glass beveled for $1,200.
I went to college in Columbia. I know exactly what you're talking about. Is it the something salvage, southeast or south end salvage yard?
I mean, you're not going to get everything you want, but when you look at it and you look at the pricing, it's like really hard to beat. And you put it in your house, it looks fabulous. And then you want to use Australian timber oil as a stain and finish oil. Australian timber oil. Mahogany flame.
I have a question. So I've heard a lot at this home show about synthetic materials, alternatives to wood, all that kind of stuff. At what point did people start seeking alternatives for exterior siding and things like that? I never knew wood was a problem. I mean, it seems like, you know what I mean?
Well,
you build a house with wood.
As soon as the product...
Is it a maintenance issue?
Yeah, it's always a maintenance issue.
Okay.
As soon as the product as soon as the product was available and it was of a quality that it could be used reliably. In the beginning when it came out, the stuff was so funky. Everything was different sized because they didn't have the tooling down. I don't know if it was a technology thing or what it was, but then there was 2 or 3 companies that were making this stuff all at the same time. And one company had a nice lap siding that had a bead on it. Hardy didn't have it, so Hardy bought the company and put it out of business. So they didn't have to compete with it. So, you know, that's capitalism at its finest, I guess.
So, alternative materials, instead of getting some expensive stone brick, is there some kind of
materials that are some apartments in the
quartz? Question was countertops. It really comes down to what's the best material. I get the question all the time. We've been pushing people to quartz for a long time, and mainly because people want lighter countertops than darker, it seems, lately for a long time. And there's not a lot of light granites that aren't like spotty. And when people see the lighter quartzes, they have the big vein running through them. You know, you can get that with marble, but nobody wants marble in the kitchen. So the quartz seems to be the answer. You know, $90, $100 a square foot is what it runs.
How many
No, it's very little upkeep. Hard as a rock. Very little upkeep. Really stands up well. You know, you can damage it, but you've got to work at it to do it. Well, I mean, you know, quartz is basically ground up quartz into like an epoxy kind of thing to make the slabs that they have now. It's all reformed. It's all like ground stone and then set in an epoxy. That's why they can duplicate the slabs. Like you can go in and look and see five slabs that are almost identical, but you go to any granite natural stone thing and you'll see one, and then sometimes if you get them all in sequence, you can actually see where the vein is moving, but it changes on every stone. And so it might start over here and work its way over here on the fifth stone. When you buy quartz, it's always in the same place. It's like a full inch thick. It's like a beef. It's beefy. You can overhang up to like 15, 16 inches. Yeah, it's, you know, it's all going to be, for the quality stuff, it's all going to be pretty much in the same ballpark. You can buy cheap granite, you know, cheap $50 square foot granite that you see like when you go into Home Depot and they've got like the four slabs outside. That's all the cheaper stuff, but I mean, that's all there is. And it's all the same. It's all that speckly stuff. You know, you'll see that in any spec house anywhere else. The question is, what kind of windows do I like? I like Symington. I like... I'll tell you what I don't like, which might be easier. Marvin, Anderson, Pella, and Peachtree. So, you're paying for their advertising more than anything. There are four or five pretty decent window companies out there that we use. Bowinko is another one. Yeah, really weird name, something you've never heard of, I'm sure. But we use them a lot. We've been importing some windows and doors from Europe, and we've been importing some stuff from the Far East lately. Quality products, really built, really put together. Pricing is really good, but you have to plan way ahead. So when I have enough time to plan ahead, that's where we go for these big bifold doors. You know, the big bifold doors that are 20,000, 30,000. You know, we can do them at a fraction of that. But I've got to plan ahead. The Winko, Symington. Southern carries both of them.
And you can, if you grab our magazine, both Common Construction and Southern Lumber's information is going to be in there.
So. Southern's usually here. They don't have a booth this time, but they usually here.
And then for you, you were interested in quartz. Cambria Quartz it's Palmetto Surfacing. They carry Cambria Quartz, and that's a big, can you speak to that? That's a large quartz
also,
company around here.
Greg with Universal. Greg's one of our preferred guys.
Yes. He also is in our magazine.
So.
All right. Well, thank you so much. That was super valuable. I appreciate it.
Thanks for sitting through.
Of course. And you can find Kevin towards the back in the middle there. Enjoy the rest of the home show.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. To make contact with any of the companies featured in today's show or listen to previous week's shows, visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Tune in again next week.